Psalm chapter 33, very familiar verse. You usually hear it this time of year. Psalm 33, verse 12. Let's look at this together. If you've got a King James Bible, it'll read just like this. If you don't and you'd like one, we'll be glad to help you get one. The Bible says, Psalm 33, verse 12. I still hear pages turning. I'll give you a moment. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. You can have a seat. That'll be all the reading we do together. We'll keep your Bible open, though. We will be looking at other scripture throughout the message. But this morning, for a few minutes, I want to preach on the subject, America, the land that I love. And boy, I do love America this morning. I thank God for being born in a country like the United States of America. Could you imagine this morning being born? You could imagine, Brother Alec, but most of us could not imagine what it would be like to be born in another country. We have been blessed beyond measure. And not only to be born in what I believe to be the greatest nation in the world, but for most of us to be born in this part of the nation, the very buckle of the Bible Belt. And boy, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And so let's look at America this morning. I want to look at four things about America. Some are good and some are not that good. And it's been alluded to already, America is not all good. I wish I could report to you honestly this morning that everything about America is wonderful and grand and great and upstanding and as good as it's ever been, but that would just be a lie. It's not true. And we do have work to do. I think we who are enjoying the freedom and the liberty that others have paid with their own blood and with the sacrifice of their own body, the least we could do is to live and fight and pursue a better union and a better nation. And so we can't do that unless we identify some of the problems that we're facing. And that won't be the bulk of the message, but it will be part of it because I believe it's necessary. But a lot of people today are against patriotism. It's hard to believe, is that it? When I was growing up, it seemed like days like today, everybody was patriotic. I mean, it was no division. There was nothing to complain or argue with anyone. A day like today would seemingly bring everybody together. But even among Christian people, that word patriotism in our day and hour has become a word of division. And boy, that ought not to be so. If you are a Christian and an American, you are just doubly blessed beyond measure. We have a lot to be thankful for as Americans, but first and foremost as children of the God of heaven. And a lot of Christians say, "Well, I'm not gonna be patriotic because our country is just in such a mess." But listen, we do have problems as a country, but I'm still thankful to be an American. This is my country, and I haven't given up on her, and I hope you don't. I hope you still pray for her and plead to God for her and want to make it a better place and a better country. It's easy to cuss the dark. Amen. And so, a lot of light, a lot of candle. Right or wrong, good or bad, this is our country. Amen. And I thank God for that. Then there are others who get in a ditch on the other side of the road, and they don't have a problem with what I was just talking about, but they want to go so far on the other way of saying that the Constitution is inspired like the Word of God is. That's way, way too far. And I thank God for the Constitution. I thank God for the Bill of Rights and all the founding documents that have been mentioned this morning. But they are not on par and on level with the Word of God. God's Word is God-breathed. It's inspired. God spoke His word into existence, and it's forever settled in heaven. And it's in this King James Bible. The Constitution, as great of a document as it is, and it is a great document, I thank God for it. It is not inspired. It's not God-breathed. And so the Constitution was based on Christian principles, but it is not inspired. And it does not have any extra biblical revelation. No, the last revelation, that the last unveiling that God gave us was in the book of the Revelation when John penned the last words of this Bible. There is no new revelation under the sun. Not the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, not what some Mormon would have you believe, that God met with some man in a cave somewhere. There is no new revelation. Amen. It's the Word of God. God gave us everything He wanted us to have right here in this Bible. The revelation of God, as I said, stopped with the finished writing of the book of the Revelation. And like always, it's easy to get in a ditch on either side, whether that's talking about politics or religion or any subject you want. It's easy to get off the middle and get over in a ditch. And it's my job this morning to plow straight down the middle and to not cater to one side or the other and just speak the truth from the Word of God. And I want to deal with four things this morning concerning America, the land that I love. Number one, America's foundation. Boy, what a founding we had. Been mentioned, Brother Jackie give you a couple of quotes already. But the Bible, the Word of God, and Christian principles are the very foundation of our country. What a heritage, what a rich, rich heritage that we have in our founding. And I know you'll hear in colleges and on the news and other places in liberal areas of life that are they'll throw this out there. Well, this founding father was an atheist, and so-and-so that helped sign the Declaration, they didn't even believe in God. And they love to throw that out there, and that is absolutely true. There were a few of those. But by and large, the most of those men were godly men, men that loved the Lord, Christian men. And I didn't say that they were all Christians, but most of them were. And I said our country was founded on biblical, Christian, Judeo values from the Word of God. I believe that's easily proven. If you study history at all, you will find that. Christopher Columbus said this. You don't hear this much in school, sadly, but this is a direct quote. He said, "It was the Lord that put it into my mind. I could feel His hand upon me, and there is no question that the inspiration came from the Holy Spirit." That ought to be taught in every school in the country. Amen. Some will say, "Well, that's pushing religion." No, that's teaching history. I don't care if a man believed and worshipped in a rock or a tree. If that's what he did, it ought to be taught. And if a man said that the Holy Spirit inspired me and put His hand and led and put that into my heart, birthed that into my heart, that ought to be taught. Amen. George Washington said, "Religion and morality are indispensable supports of the United States of America." Washington also said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." More how true. He did not say Allah and the Quran. He said God and the Bible. Amen. Every time they referred to God, they were 9 times out of 10 speaking of the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, the God that we serve this morning. Abraham Lincoln said, "The Bible is the greatest gift God has ever given to man." Boy, what a true statement. Brother Jackie, you might remember this one. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not by religion, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. John Adams, I got 2 or 3 quotes from him, said, "We have no government armed with power that is capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." What does that mean? In our language, that's simply saying, he said that there's no law that can be passed. There's no executive order that can be given that can keep a country safe and on the straight and narrow to a people that are full of the devil. It takes morality. It takes religion. It takes Christ and the church of believing God and His Word if the Constitution is going to have any effect. It wasn't written to a bunch of lost hellions. It wasn't at all. It was written to people who, under the heading and in the mind and heart of these men who wrote the Constitution, they were writing it to a people of that were based and founded in Judeo-Christian values. Yes. John Adams also said, I am apt to believe that Independence Day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. He went on to say, and I like this. I think some have said, well, why are we having a service like we're having this evening? Trust me, I've heard it. You would think everybody would be for it. Celebrating our freedom, our liberty, having a wonderful time. I'm for that. I'm for God's people having a good time. If you wonder where I stand on tonight's service, I'm the one who called for it. I'm for it. I'm for us coming together. I don't say that in a mean spirit. I say that with all honesty. Listen to what this founder went on to say. He said it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other. From this time forward, forevermore. So I'm just following what the man said. John Adams also said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people, and it was wholly inadequate for any other. What we was just saying a minute ago, this was directed to Christian people. All the distinctive features and superiority of the Republic are derived from the teachings of the Scripture. As a matter of fact, and I've got to hurry, but since we're going to have a fun time this evening, we can have a time of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we're going to feed you this evening. We're going to have fun, fellowship. So we're going to take a moment this morning. I just started preaching, by the way, and I'm going to give us what God has given to me. As a matter of fact, you'll have to dig for some of this information I'm going to give you, freely give to you this morning, that I have went and mined and studied and dug up myself, and it ain't easily found. A lot of the history has been hidden and covered up, but it's a fact of matter. Baptist preachers and congregations were very instrumental in the founding of our country. Now, it's being taught and has been for years that, the Catholic Church and this religion or a religious organization done this, that, and the other, and a lot of that's true, but the Baptist Church, who we are, our founding fathers in the faith had a lot to do with the shaping of our country. And I can prove that. And I won't go into great length. I'm studying on our Baptist history right now, and I plan to educate us. I believe it's important that we know where we come from. Absolutely. Like men, like we're celebrating today, how many of you, by the uplifted hands, believe that, like Sister Charlene just testified to, and many others have sang and testified to, and I see all the red and all the decorations and all that's going on, I believe we ought to celebrate a day like today. Independence matters. It really matters. Because men have shed their blood and paid with their life so we could live free. That's important. But do you know it wasn't just soldiers for our country that has shed their blood, but men, women, boys, and girls have been burned at the stake and have given their lives and have been imprisoned and impoverished and brutally beaten and killed for the Baptist faith that we have, for the Word of God that we have and hold. And so it matters where we came from. It matters that we understand the history of where we came from and how we got here. right up the road in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. It's just 45 minutes from here. It ain't far. They still have the Kings Mountain Memorial Park. You can go there today, where the great battle was fought in the Revolutionary War. And there was a British man, again, he's going to hate me, by the name of Ferguson. He was over here battling for the British, and he stood up on top of Kings Mountain at the very summit and peak and made the crazy statement that even God Almighty couldn't take him off that mountain. Well, he ought not have said that. There was a bunch of Baptist preachers in the area, and they got their congregations in to go and stand at the foot of the mountain, and got the women and children to stay at the base of the mountain and pray and call on God. And the men marched up the mountain. And there was one third generation preacher. His daddy was a preacher. His grandpa was a preacher. And by the name of Titus Lane. And he marched up to the top and grabbed old Ferguson and off of his horse and went to throw him off the mountain. And his foot got caught in the stirrup. And the horse went running down the mountain, all the way down King's Mountain, and killed the man. I say, he probably ought not have said that. Like the man who lit out in the Titanic shouldn't have said that. It wouldn't be too wise of you to say God can't do something. Yeah, he can. I wouldn't tempt him. Thomas Jefferson said the battle at King's Mountain turned the tide of the Revolutionary War. Baptists also had a major impact and influence on not just in war, but in our government. This is interesting. Listen, up in Massachusetts, they passed a law against another preacher, Baptist preacher, by the name of John Clark, and who came to America in 1637. And by 1638, just 1 year of arriving, he had planted a Baptist church up there in Rhode Island. And because of simply doing that, they came and arrested him, passed laws against him, and imprisoned him, and threatened his life and his livelihood. And so he said, we are going to try a different form of government. And they said that he was committing treason. And he said, we believe in the Baptist faith that we ought to have civil liberty, that we ought to have religious liberty, that the government should not dictate what we do and what we believe. And that's in and of our own power. And for that, they arrested him and imprisoned him. It's a government that allows citizens civil and religious liberty, which means you can worship, believe, and say anything you want. Well, aren't you glad you live in a country like that? Ain't you glad you didn't wake up this morning and somebody made you go to this church or to that church or to some governmental church and oversight? No, you was able to wake up this morning and choose whether or not you would even come to church. Nobody made you come this morning. You chose to come, unless you have a mama or daddy, and thank God for them. But nobody made you in America come. You here because you simply chose to exercise your will. What a blessing. You know how many people are in China this morning that cannot go to church? They had to separate from their families and go one by one and two by two, and somewhere in silence they are singing at a whispered voice, and they're in underground churches all over the nation. But boy, God has blessed us. And you know that came right from Baptist men of God who said, we have a right to choose who we worship. We have civil liberty. And that helped form the government of the United States. I'm going to prove this and go on further. Listen, because you have liberty, we get to choose. And James Madison, Patrick Henry, and John Adams talked to General George Washington and said, I think they really have something. These Baptists, George Washington sent James Madison to study the Baptist church because of what they believed and how they believed about civil liberty and religious liberty. And that helped the founding and the forming of our country. And they came back and they said, I believe they are on to something. They have this right, and that turned into the Bill of Rights. That's how those were formed and created, under the influence and the impact of men of faith directly. The Bill of Rights came from these men. And listen, they some nuts in this country. Bona fide lunatics. You travel to the coast of California or go up to New York or Washington, D.C., and sadly, you don't have to go that far to find some nuts. You can find some here in Packlet. Now, don't nobody turn around and start looking at your neighbor. No, I'm kidding. But my point in saying that is, we live in America. And if they want to be nuts, they can be nuts. And I will respect their right to be so. But I've about had it up to here with them demanding what I can have as my rights while they want to whine and cuss and discuss all the things that they claim to be their rights. It ought to be an equal playing field. If you have the right to not believe it, I have the right to believe it. Amen. And that's the beauty of America. The founding was done right. I believe it was directly under the influence and the grace and goodness of God Almighty. Absolutely. And so our Baptist heritage was directly linked and responsible for the setting up of our government, the government of the United States of America. So why is America so blessed? I'm glad you asked, because the foundation of this country was based on the King James Bible. This Bible that I hold in my hand this morning, our country was founded upon this book, which is directly linked to the blessing and the goodness we've enjoyed for all these years. It's also founded not only on the King James Bible, but on the Christian faith and the Judeo-Christian values. Our nation had the right foundation. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Amen. Number two, quickly, America's founding, but America's faith. And I'm going to move through this as quick as I can, but America's faith was produced by the free teaching and the free preaching right out of this Bible. That's what enhanced the faith that we see all scattered around this country. Brother Jackie mentioned this earlier. But there is a remnant. There is a group of people, of believers, who have faith in the God of heaven, the same God that you serve and worship and believe in this morning, all across the land this morning. And I know the media will not highlight that. And if we look to the news and all the mass hysteria that's going on in our country, you will rarely see that there are good Christian sane people out there. They want to magnify all the craziness and all the messed up parts of our country, but there is a group of people who have faith and trust and believe in the same God you do. Yes, our country is a country of faith. All the way back in the beginning, they were circuit riding Methodist preachers who would ride from one village, from one town to the next, and would blaze the trail with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And untold countless converts, people who trusted and believed that Christ could save them, and did. And then it was Baptist men who would come in after that and who would establish and found and build churches all over this country by the thousands. You ever ride around and say, well, goodness, there's another Baptist church. Well, there's another Baptist church. They didn't all come from splits and splinters. Now, if you study the founding of this country, used to people didn't have the transportation to just get up and ride wherever they wanted to ride to go to church. And so every little village, every little town would have their own church. And it was started by great men of faith. And so those old Methodist preachers, men like Cartwright, men like Whitfield, men like John Wesley, they blazed the gospel trail preaching, and then that would go on into men like Mordecai Ham and men like C.T. Studd and men like Robert Sheffield, and who would carry the gospel on and continue the faith. And then those men would pass that to another generation, all the way down to our generation, to great men of God in our generation, men like J. Harold Smith, men like Dr. Harold Seiler, men like Pastor Andrew Carrigan, who faithfully carried the faith and delivered it to us. Yes. And boy, I bless the Lord for our heritage, for the faith that was faithfully delivered to us. America has produced more preachers. Say, why is America blessed? I'll tell you why. Listen, America has produced more preachers, missionaries, Bibles, tracts, produced and printed and promoted the gospel more so than any country on planet Earth. That's why we're a blessed nation. If you want to know the main reason why God hasn't already brought and dropped the axe down on America in judgment, I believe it's because of those reasons I just named. We have promoted and printed and preached the gospel around the world. Amen. Another reason I believe God hadn't brought judgment on us yet is because still today, I'm talking about America's faith, still today, there is a group of people around this nation who love God. Everybody out there hadn't lost their mind. Everybody out there hadn't given up on God and the things of God and the Word of God and the people of God. No, they're still good, godly, faithful people out in this country. Men and women who will get up in the morning and who will put their boots on and will go out into the workplace and work a hard, honest day's work and will labor and provide for their family and live a clean life and bring that money back to the house of God, tithe on that money, and then take above and beyond, if you look at that lighthouse, and give so that the gospel will go out around the world. Amen. Yes. That's why God's blessing our nation. It ain't because of Washington. I can promise you that. No. America has had so much faith, and still today it's filled with people of faith. I know we don't see that all over, but it's true. I thank God for a Holy Ghost filled man of God who came to where I was and preached the Word of God, and I was saved. Directly linked to why I'm standing here this morning, because somebody cared enough who had faith and wanted to give that faith to me. And oh, how we should continue and carry that on. We should not drop the ball on our watch. Amen. The world is trying to pull you. I thought about this morning. You ever been to Myrtle Beach? I say that name and everybody just woke up. Everybody that had drifted off to the land of Nod, you just come back. I remember first time I went to Myrtle Beach. I guess that's the first time. That's the only beach I knew that there was. I've learned better. But I remember seeing that ocean. I thought, man, I was just amazed. And I got out in that thing, and I remember seeing the hotel where we're staying, and, well, probably not. I couldn't see the hotel. I seen hotels. We wasn't staying out there because we was poor and Tommy was broke and tight. We stayed at the Glen Duane or something like that. Remember that? I had to lay in a room beside Tommy snoring, so I didn't sleep for a week. But I got out in that ocean, me and Billy Jack and Bobby, and we seen that hotel, and we didn't know. But that ocean don't come in straight at you. Them waves don't come in straight at you. They come in at an angle. And every time you jump up to ride a wave, you go over just a little bit. And you go up and you don't even realize it. And boy, we was having a time up and over, up and over. And I said, hey, boys, there's our hotel. And we didn't see it nowhere. We had a big old time, but slowly but surely, we had drifted and been pulled way down the way. Unbeknownst to us. And you know, this world is trying to pull us, people of faith. They're trying to move us incrementally, little by little, movement by movement. And where the church stands today is not where the church stood 50 years ago. Say, bless God, we're going to stay as far from the world as they did 50 years ago. The problem is the world ain't where it was 50 years ago. So if we're basing how far we stay away from the world, we are moving with them. Amen. And so America is a place and people of faith, the foundation of America, the faith of America. Listen to this. I heard Ralph Sexton Sr. say this years ago. He said, if you took a map of the United States of America and you was to take a compass, some of y'all young people probably don't even know what that is, but a compass, and put it down and put the middle part on Asheville, North Carolina, and take that compass and go out 150 miles radius and draw a circle just from Asheville. And make that circle, that would go up near Winston-Salem, Chattanooga, Kingsport, Bristol, Johnson City, Knoxville, and then it will come on right down here to Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina, right in that circle. He said that spot has more churches in that circle than anywhere else in the country. And God let most of us here this morning be born in that circle and raised in that circle under the highest influence of the gospel and the goodness of God, the preaching of the Word of God, than anywhere in the country. And this country has better and more than anywhere in the world. So I mean right in the very bullseye of the gospel and the Word of God, most of us have been raised right in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And before we shout on that too much, please hear this. I'll just give you a Bible verse and move on. Where much is given, much is required. It is a blessing. I wouldn't trade nothing for it. You could pile up all the money in the world and say trade it for your upraising and where you was born and raised. And there ain't no way, Brother Ned, there ain't no way I'd trade and choose to be born in China, choose to be born somewhere else in this country. I thank God for where He placed me and let me be born and raised. I wouldn't trade that. I'd laugh at you if you was to ask me to trade that for money. Ain't no way. I thank God for this. But while I'm thankful for it, I'm also aware that God's going to require much of me and you for being raised here under the truth. America's founding, we're almost done. America's faith, number three, America's failures. I'm going to hit this really fast. There are failures. There have been failures in our country. You can't look around and not know that. And I thank God for this day, and I'm not going to highlight and spend the majority of my time this morning talking about our failures. I'm not going to do that. But liberty, listen, liberty is not the right to do whatever you want to do. Liberty is the opportunity to do what you should do. Let me say it. One man said it this way. Your liberty ends where my nose begins. You can't just come up in my face and punch me and not expect something to happen. Now, I know what the Bible says. We're supposed to turn the other cheek, but I wouldn't try me on most days. There might be one out of the month. You might catch me spiritual enough to do that, but I doubt it. You come up and bust me on one side, I'm probably going to bust you back on the other. Don't look at me all spiritual. I'll test your faith right after service if you want to try. Well, to see how spiritual you are. I heard somebody say one time, well, what if we turn the other cheek and they hit us on that one? Then can we hit them? Yeah. I think we missed a point. But I'm just saying there's limits to liberty. Back in the 1950s, things began happening in America, unlike that had ever happened. Something by the name of, in 1955, a disc jockey coined the phrase rock and roll. Oh, preacher, that ain't what's wrong with America. If you had time this morning, I would show you in detail how just that introduced a whole new era to our country. Music is powerful. If you don't believe that, look at the chief music leader who was in heaven. His name's Lucifer. Yeah, music's powerful. And just A year or two right after that happened, after rock and roll came on the stage, and I believe with all my heart that the demons and the devil of hell knew how blessed America was and how much America was doing for the glory of God, and he unleashed the demons of hell on this nation. And right after that, in 1962, America made its first grave mistake. Anybody know what happened in 1962? They took prayer and the Word of God out of school. The Supreme Court of the United States of America, because one woman, Madeline O'Hara, raised a stink, and she was an atheist, didn't believe in God, and one woman's aggravation and frustration, the Supreme Court, the highest office court in the land, threw prayer and the Word of God out of the public school. You think that had any effect? Well, you better believe it. Look at how the rope come unraveled after that. And then, so that was first. And then 1973, just 9 years later, or 11 years later, you know what happened in 1973? Anybody know what major ruling come on the scene in 1973? You ever heard of Roe v. Wade? That's when the Supreme Court of our country legalized murder. Killing babies, and been doing it ever since, about 4,000 a day. Listen, a baby is a baby. It is not a tissue, it is not a fetus, it is a baby. And I do believe in women's rights. Don't you pay me out to be somebody I'm not. I believe a woman has every right to live, but I also believe that baby has every right to live. Amen. Amen. So that was 1973. Then third, this is more current to date. The third grave failure in our country that I believe was going to bring the judgment of God on our country. And I can prove that from the Word of God. June of 2015, just a few years ago. Anybody know what happened in June of 2015? The Supreme Court, the same office, high office, made the ruling that same-sex marriage would become legal. You read the Word of God and you find nations who have been destroyed and utterly cast down. You'll find them killing babies. You'll find them man and man and woman and committing abominations before God Almighty, and soon judgment followed. That's a fact. I didn't come in here with an axe to grind. I know many in our church, and hey, I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. And if you know somebody that's battling with that sin, and it is a sin, it's abomination according to the Word of God, and I'm not going to back up from that ever, ever. But I'll tell you this, I don't hate them. Matter of fact, I love them. And I'll pray with them, and I'll help them, and I'll counsel with them, and I'll put my arm around them, and I'll do everything in my power to help anybody. Amen. Now see if they'll have that much tolerance toward me, a preacher. Because usually, not far from here, they'll spit on me for being a preacher. That's right. So I'm just saying, we're supposed to love everybody, but our country made three grave, fatal errors by legalizing those three things. What God called lawful, they called unlawful. And what God called unlawful, they made lawful. And I still say, let God be true and every man a lie. Amen. Amen. Then finally, and I'm done, just two sentences and we'll be done. America's future. We're right now done. You say, how could you possibly predict the future? I don't normally, but this morning I'm going to give you something brand new. I'm going to predict America's future. I'm going to prophesy this morning, and I don't do prophecy. But one of two things is going to happen to America according to the Word of God. So what's around the bend for America? What's going to happen to our country? One of two things. According to these two verses, listen, the Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's choice number one. That's option number one. Any nation that forgets God is going to be turned into hell. It's happened to way bigger nations than America. Kingdoms and dominions and mighty, mighty, long-lasting, long-standing powers have fallen because they forgot God and they was turned into hell. America is no exception to that. Or option B, my preferred option, the Bible says, and you know the verse well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, wouldn't that be a better option? Wouldn't that be a better future for America? Well, of course it would. It absolutely it would. Wouldn't you love to see a nationwide revival in America? Before you get your hopes up and shout me on too loud right there, we're done. But I'm telling you, I hope I'm wrong. But I see a nation who has forgotten God, and they've seen who God is and what God offers and what God has to say, and it ain't because we're in our ignorance, but we have purposefully chosen and told God, we don't want you. Not just that we forgot you, we don't really want you. Sadly, that's where we are. And for that reason, I don't see us having a nationwide revival. I hope I'm wrong. I promise I hope I'm wrong. For my children's sake, I hope I'm wrong. For our church's sake, I hope I'm wrong. But can I say, even if America never experiences a nationwide revival, there's nothing in the Word of God that prevents you personally from experiencing a true heaven-sent personal revival. There's nothing in the Word of God that prevents our church from experiencing a real move and a real heaven-sent revival. Because I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And whether America does or not, and I hope she does, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I hope the future for America is brighter than what I see, not bleaker. But whether America stands and turns back to God or not, I know what my future is. I know what my future is. The future of America, just if you was to take the Word of God and say, where's America at in the future? I can show you, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I can show you that America ain't going to be here forever. As much as I love this country, and thank God I spent most of my time this morning preaching on how much I love the founding, the faith, and this country, America ain't going to be here forever. It's going to fall. It's going to fold at some point or another because all nations is going to turn against that little country, the apple of God's eye, Israel. All of us. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my faith in God. I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to tell you what my future is. My future is bright. Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep my confidence in God. I'm going to keep blessing Israel. I'm not turning my back on Israel. I'm not turning my back on the God of Israel. And you shouldn't either. Amen. Amen. We all do everything in our power to make America the best it can be. And the best way to do that is to be the best Christian you can be. Because it was good, faithful Christians that built this country. And it'll be good, faithful Christians that continue to bless this country. Let's stand together. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful country that we live in. Lord, as sick as she is, God, still live in the greatest country on the planet. I thank God for our nation. Lord, I do pray for our country. I pray for those who are out fighting today, Lord, for our freedom. I pray you to watch over, protect them, put a hedge around them. God, keep them safe. I thank you, Lord, for every drop of blood that's been shed, Lord, for our liberty, for our freedom. I pray you'd bless, Lord, that wife, God, that's sitting in a home that's empty this morning, God, because her husband is no longer there. God, for that little girl and little boy that their mama or their daddy is gone because they've paid the price for our freedom. I pray you'd bless them. God, I beg of you, touch the lives of those that have helped us, Lord, and to give us, Lord, freedom. Help us to keep the memory and the honor of those that have went on before us. I pray for every child of God that's saved, Lord, that is here this morning, God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to get honest with you, God, to realize you have saved us, Lord. You've let us be born in this country. God, you've blessed us beyond measure. While 7+ billion other people are living on this planet, you let us live here. And God, I bless you for that. I don't take that for granted. But Lord, help us to realize, God, you have given us so much. And Lord, help us to give back to you. Lord, help us to live for you. God, to understand you have given us much, Lord, that we'll be required of much. God, I pray if there's anybody here lost today, may this be the day you save them. God, help us to be thankful for our country, and we'll be thankful to you in Christ's name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have one verse of invitation. If you need this altar, you come.